Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
At first, seeing this headline just 2 minutes ago seems like a squirrel moment. It seems like a distraction, but actually it ties right into everything. The Democrats, the liberal judges, what do they do? What is their overriding philosophy or tactic or just what do they want to accomplish at the end of the day? They want to take money out of your pocket and put it in somebody else's pocket, especially if they can put it in their friends' pockets, though. See, that's where they've morphed into. It used to be that they were, you know, welfare state liberals that wanted to take money from you and give it to other people and expand the welfare state. And, you know, maybe they were well-intentioned, but it had disastrous consequences and it's bankrupted America. And it's had other sort of cultural impacts, right? But they were well-intentioned. Now, they don't want to just create the welfare state where they take money out of your pocket and put it in the pockets of illegal aliens or put it in the pockets of able-bodied adults who could be working, who should be working, but then instead they sit back and get all the stuff that you have to pay for. So you pay more for health insurance, and then you pay taxes so that other people get the free health insurance that you pay for. And on we go. But they've morphed beyond just taking money out of your pocket to put it in somebody else's pocket because of the well-intentioned welfare state. And it's no longer well-intentioned because we know what a failure it is. So they can't even argue that they're well-intentioned. They're just so blatantly taking money out of your pocket to put it in their buddies' pockets. It's not even that they're just trying to take money out of your pocket and put it in somebody else's pocket who you could argue might be in need, maybe be in need. They are taking money out of your pocket and put it in their buddies' pockets. The story I was going to start out with today, because I think there's a good write-up here that I saw from the Washington Free Beacon that is probably buried at the bottom of my stack of stuff because I wanted to print this one out very early in the day here. It details just the abuse that the USAID has been doing. They've been running on autopilot, and you've got these deep state bureaucrats, these woke left-wing activists who are taking your money and funding all sorts of crazy woke stuff and funneling that money down to their buddies that are running whatever scam in whatever country all over the world. And so that's what I was going to start out with. But then I just see this story here about how these left-wing lawyers here in Montana, the ACLU, or they bring in their lawyer buddies from outside of Montana oftentimes too, how they want to bilk you, the taxpayer, for outrageous attorney's fees. And it's just a reminder, these liberal judges, when they shut down forest health projects, when they shut down timber projects, they're not just leading to more catastrophic wildfires. They're putting money in the pockets of these environmental groups and their lawyers and rewarding them for continuing to file these lawsuits. Same thing's happening here with these liberal judges and justices in Montana. They rule these outrageous rulings, and then they want to hand a bunch of money and lawyers' fees to these left-wing lawyers. They're taking your money and putting it in the pockets of their buddies, their left-wing activists.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and areas of light snow around the region today, accumulations generally stand at an inch or less. High temperature readings will range from near 20 in Bozeman to around 8 above in Billings. For tonight, we can expect more light snow showers with a 1 to 3 inch accumulation, lows near 0 in Billings, near 10 in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
It is Super Bowl week in New Orleans. Kathy Lanier, the NFL's chief security officer, says organizers are ready to meet their safety goals.
I am confident that the safest place to be this weekend will be in this areas around under their security umbrella that this team has put together.
During a Monday briefing, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem offered this good news.
Right now, we have no specific credible threats.
Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry says changes have been made following the terrorist attack in the French Quarter on New Year's.
Any gaps that we could find inside of this city, targets that we could harden, we did.
For the first time, the area around the Superdome where the game will be played will be an enhanced security zone. Officials are also closely monitoring cyber threats and human trafficking operations this week. Kip Muretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Actually, Caden, disregard. You don't need to print that article. I just realized I already printed that article several days ago here and got it right in front of me. This is going to be interesting. Some of you are probably like, what? What article? What are you talking about? Well, we're going to be talking about that in about an hour and a half. We're going to have, I think the principal and maybe the superintendent, we've got a couple of guests. I haven't even gotten that far ahead of my calendar yet here. Whitehall High School, somebody was trying to do this woke, play, at the school and push this left-wing agenda on these kids, the pro-trans agenda. They were trying to push, you know, anti-Christian themes, pro-homosexuality themes, and they were trying to push this on kids in a high school. And the high school was like, this isn't appropriate for kids. This isn't appropriate for the school. So, but of course, leave it to the liberal media to try to basically throw shade on the school for, you know, school officials for making the right call in this case here, because the liberal media, they want to push this radical transgender, you know, anything, you know, questioning God. Of course, they want to put that front and center in the minds of kids. So anyway, that's going to be coming up later on in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, I think, is when those guests are going to join us. That was a story I first heard about last week. And so the liberal media is trying to pile on to the school officials in Whitehall. And so, you know, we're giving them a microphone so they can respond to the liberal media and talk about this common sense decision. All right, let's talk about tariffs. Man, you know, how awkward would it be this morning if we spent the whole day yesterday freaking out, getting people whipped up into a frenzy? Oh, no, Donald Trump's threatening tariffs against Canada and Mexico. Trade war. Oh, no. Ding, 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 ding. Alarm bells. Ah! How embarrassing would it be this morning if we did what so many in the liberal media did and so many of these liberal, commentators on Twitter on the Montana Politics hashtag? You know who you are. You guys, it's not 2016. The people have seen that. We know how this plays out. Donald Trump wins. His strategy works. He's the author of a book called The Art of the Deal. I mean, think about how embarrassing it would be if all day yesterday we, oh no, what's going to happen with these tariff threats? And is there going to be a trade war? Oh no. Yes, that's my attempt at a Jim Gaffigan impersonation. Oh no, hey, what's going to happen? Tariffs. And then this morning, you're like, oh, man, by yesterday afternoon, Trudeau's trying to have a desperate meeting with Donald Trump. Mexico's pledging to put 10,000 troops at the border. Now Justin Trudeau says, okay, whoa, we'll do something. We'll do something. You know, like, but see, some of these folks in the media and these left-wing or even these folks that consider themselves conservatives, but they're these never Trumpers, doomsday, everyday people. And again, you know who you are. Even they were like, oh, yeah, look at this. This is going to be awful. Guys, we know how this plays out. It plays out very well for America. It plays out very well for Donald J. Trump. Now, you could have pled ignorance in 2016, and you could have bought into all the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax propaganda from CNN and MSNBC and KTVQ and the rest of them. But you already know it's a bunch of garbage. You already know that their hysteria ends in one gigantic poof. So why are you still going with this this never-Trumper, doomsday, everyday tweet? See, if they actually had shame, if they actually wanted to have an honest conversation, today they would be saying, you know what, guys, we really got people whipped into a frenzy yesterday with fear-mongering reporting about a trade war with Mexico and Canada. And, you know, we sent some tweets we shouldn't have sent out. And, you know, hey, gosh, man, looks like Trump was on the right path here. Looks like it's leading to some good outcomes for the United States of America. And so, hey, we just, you know, today we just want to tell you that, hey, you know, yesterday we got you ginned up into a frenzy. We got you whipped up into a frenzy with some of our reporting or with some of our tweets. But today, hey, we just want you to know that we stand corrected. You won't see that. They don't do that. They just move on to the next hoax. They just move on to the next frenzy. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. But thankfully, we're not embarrassed. Did it even come up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show yesterday? Maybe it briefly came up. Who knows? But we certainly weren't whipping people up into a frenzy with a fear-mongering campaign. Okay, what's the other? Oh, yeah, what's the next frenzy they're trying to whip people up into? They're not just content with calling Donald Trump a dictator anymore. They know that doesn't work, so now they're calling Elon Musk a dictator because Elon Musk is working to trim back the trillions in deficits that face this country, that have been plaguing this country, which reminds me, the story, the USAID. Have you guys heard about some of the things that USAID, the U.S. Agency for International Development, what they have been funding with your taxpayer dollars? And then oftentimes these funds end up going to their buddies. And that's how, you know, people, even people like Bill Kristol, we've now found out, because Elon Musk is opening up the books, we found out that this fake conservative, never Trumper, Bill Kristol, is making millions of dollars off of some of these phony programs. But paid for by you, the taxpayers. But anyway, the Washington Free Beacon has this headline here. Disabled climate leaders in Asia. Indigenous language tech in Latin America. Oh, I see we got a break. I'm not hearing bumper music. All right, sorry. We'll tell you more after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The quietly widening gap between the U.S. economy and the economies of other Western democracies is becoming harder to ignore. That's because the central banks who manage their respective economies are moving in opposite directions. The European Central Bank cut rates for the fifth consecutive time, citing economic weakness. Just the day before, its U.S. counterpart, the Federal Reserve, left interest rates unchanged. There's a concept used in monetary policy, the neutral interest rate, the rate that neither stimulates or restricts the economy. The Fed thinks that's about where we are right now. The Europeans are still lowering rates to find it. That's a pretty big difference between economies that used to be on the same page. Before we stick our chests out to boast over this, we should remember one thing. Congress and the president have poured trillions of debt-financed government spending into our economy, so it's less surprising that we're surging ahead. Yet the dynamism of the American economy since COVID has clearly opened up some space between the big economies around the world. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Flags across the nation are now back to flying at full staff after the 30-day period to mourn President Carter ended a few days ago. However, many flags at the U.S. Capitol and other federal buildings went back up for January 20th. That was Inauguration Day and Martin Luther King Day. a federal holiday. A federal statute requires that U.S. flags be displayed at full height on federal holidays, including Inauguration Day, especially on January 20th, it says. President Dwight Eisenhower issued a proclamation on the proper times for flying the flag at half-staff when government officials die. For the president, that includes 30 days on federal buildings, grounds, and naval vessels. American flags are also flown at half-staff for 10 days after the death of a vice president, chief justice, or speaker of the House. President Trump accused Democrats of being, quote, giddy at the thought of the flag not being at full staff during his inauguration. He said, quote, they think it's so great and are so happy about it because in actuality, they don't love our country. They only think about themselves, said the president. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, CattleCon 2025 is officially underway here in San Antonio, Texas. And for the past year, Wyoming rancher Mark Isley has served as the NCBA president and says, from educational sessions to keynote speakers to the NCBA's huge trade show, this truly is where the beef industry meets.
Absolutely, and you've covered a great deal of it. Plus, there's also going to be checkoff discussions and, of course, the policy discussions. And we're always looking forward to the Cattle Facts session where we'll get our predictions and hopefully set our sights for the next year.
He says it's really good to see a little bit of profitability back in the cattle industry these days, with short supplies fueling record cattle markets.
Unforeseen circumstances, it should be good for a while, and producers should be able to make some improvements, pay down some notes, do some good things while that's hit. It's the opportunity that doesn't come along often enough, so let's capitalize on it when we can.
He says a big legislative priority this year for NCBA and him personally is to see important tax reform legislation extended.
I personally have taken a hit on it before. I know what that means. It can put operations out of business. So one of the biggest thrusts of my time at the helm was to make sure we try to get that 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act reinstated, revived in some form, because we got 1031 exchanges we want to keep, 179 exemptions we want to get in there. We want to make sure that the death tax is put to death. We'd like to see it go away. And some of those other things that are stepped up basis is a great example. In order to help those transitions happen, if we can't do that, then genetics and marketing and all the other things will not matter if they take the place away from you with taxes.
And as a past Wyoming Stock Growers Association president, he says it's truly been an honor to serve as the president of the NCBA this past year.
It has been an honor and a pleasure to serve. I have reveled in every place I've gone. I have admired the adversity that people have when they go from operation to operation, different types, parts of the country. It has been amazing. The resiliency of people, their spirit, it's wonderful. And I can't believe my year is almost over. It has gone by so very, very quickly.
Again, that was NCBA president and Wyoming rancher Mark Isley.
Sale season's here again, and there are a lot of black-hided Angus bulls on the market, but not all of them are registered. Why take the risk? Don't gamble on unproven genetics. Invest wisely with registered, powered by Angus bulls. Backed by the power of the American Angus Association and 80 million data points, registered Angus bulls give you the confidence in your buying decisions. Don't buy an imposter. Look for the registration number. Buy the power. Buy registered Angus bulls.
The K2 Red Angus Winter Bull and Female Sale is Thursday, February 6th at the K2 Sale Barn in Wheatland, Wyoming. Offering 100 head of K2 Red genetics raised to work in a real-world range environment. Functional, fertile, and efficient, K2 Red Angus selects for foot, leg, and udder structure while maintaining a focus on profitability and real-world carcass merit. K2 bulls are always pap-tested and always guaranteed. Broadcast live on DB Auction. Lunch at noon, sale at 1. Visit K2RedAngus.com for a catalog and directions. Well, to the delight of many in agriculture, on Monday, the U.S. Senate's Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry voted to advance the nomination of Brooke Rollins to be the next Secretary of Agriculture. The nomination was favorably reported by the committee with unanimous support and now heads to the full Senate for consideration. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, let me get the headset on here. I was trying to scan some more Fox News Radio headlines here. A little late getting on the show prep here this morning. There's just too much to read up on, too much to talk about, especially when it comes to the successes of President Donald J. Trump and everything that he has been delivering here in the past 2+ weeks since he was sworn in as president. Let me go though back to this story before we got cut off by the last break. The Washington Free Beacon. As the Trump administration works to shrink the United States Agency for International Development and place it under the State Department's umbrella, congressional Democrats have argued that the move endangers lives and undermines U.S. national security. And, of course, they're putting out all sorts of, fake news, lies, misinformation, whatever you want to call it. But here's what the Washington Free Beacon is pointing out here. USAID has spent millions in taxpayer cash on left-wing priorities like climate activism, and they've bankrolled groups linked to Palestinian terrorism. Big surprise there, right? Secretary of State Marco Rubio announced Monday that he will serve as USAID's acting leader while the Trump administration works to reduce the agency's spending. The agency's career staffers have battled the administration's 90-day freeze on foreign funding, seeking exemptions that would funnel tens of millions of dollars to agency bureaus that cover issues like environmental justice and LGBTQI+ inclusive development, the Washington Free Beacon reported. Let's see. Yeah, $1 million. Here's some of the funding that they've exposed now. Your taxpayer dollars that are being used to fund against American interests. And of course, a lot of this money ends up going right into the pockets of their left wing, buddies. $1 million to make disabled Tajikistanis climate leaders. Not just any climate leaders in Tajikistan. We want disabled climate leaders. $1 million for that. $1 million for foreign DEI programs, including indigenous language technology in Guatemala. Okay, if we're going to be funding indigenous languages, why are we sending that money to Guatemala? Why don't we get a Crow language program? And there's already language programs out there. I mean, they could be giving that money to a Crow language program, the Blackfeet. I mean, you name it. No, we're shipping that indigenous language technology to Guatemala using your Native American taxpayer dollars to do so. Nearly $100,000 to a Palestinian activist group whose leaders hailed terrorism. $1 million to a Hamas-linked charity. $1.5 million to empower female climate activists in northern Kenya. What a waste. There's more where that came from. I got a couple more to highlight in 60 seconds. Confirmed as energy secretary for President Donald J. Trump. I was just seeing a headline that the Republican-led Senate right now is ahead of schedule, ahead of the normal pace for confirming presidential nominees. But still needs to be faster. Let's still pick it up, right? Because of the mess that this administration has inherited, they need their team in place in a massive way right now. But all right, back to this story. So there's just a few more headlines here to share with you from this Washington Free Beacon report showing how your taxpayer dollars are being funneled into the USAID against American interests and then put in the pockets of basically Democrat Party buddies. Here we go. Oh, yeah, we already told you about the $15 million for condoms in Afghanistan. What was the other one here? Yeah, there's one other. A well-established vetting program. They can't even vet how these funds are being used. So that tells you a little bit about the USAID, and the left is freaking out. The Democrats, this is where the Democrats think they have a window of opportunity. Stephen Miller completely shot them down on Laura Ingraham's show last night, though.
They have rallied around the biggest losing rallying cry of all time, which is going to war for a swamp nest of bureaucrats at an agency called the U.S. Agency for International Development. Not American development, not developing East Palestine, Ohio, not developing the forgotten communities in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, not developing the border towns in Texas that have been run over by an illegal alien invasion for 4 years under Biden, but developing countries all over the world except our own. There's probably no entity in the government that is more of an entrenched power center of unelected bureaucrats with less accountability, less oversight than USAID. They funnel money to their cronies all over the world through a swampy network of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and cutouts, including potentially some very troubling elements of focusing on things like regime change and destabilizing foreign countries. But this is not about America's interests. Donald Trump is courageously restoring democracy. Article 2 of the executive branch vests all power by the Constitution. Sorry, Article 2 of the Constitution vests all power of the executive branch in a president. It's known as the vesting clause. It says the executive power shall be vested in a president, singular, not in the bureaucracy, not in unelected lifetime tenured career civil servants. Americans voted for one man, Donald J. Trump. They didn't vote for a single bureaucrat at USAID. They voted for Donald Trump to make government accountable to the taxpayer, to make government accountable for them. If the Democrats are saying, as they are, that President Trump cannot implement his agenda at USAID, that Donald Trump cannot fire recalcitrant bureaucrats, what they are saying, what Democrats are saying, is they oppose democracy itself.
All right, well said by Stephen Miller. They don't care about democracy, they care about bureaucracy.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All this talk about the USAID reminds me, we have some great audio. I'm going to have to trim it down for you. Montana Senator Tim Sheehy was on CNN, and he just handed it to CNN. He just handed it to the CNN anchor and did not waver one bit when it came to defending President Trump and Elon Musk for their efforts with DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. And you could tell the CNN anchor guy didn't really know what to say. He's like, But what a great point by Stephen Miller, who's, you know, been with President Trump since day one, top, policy advisor to President Trump in the White House. This is the sword that Democrats apparently want to fall on and want to die on right now. The U.S. Agency for International Development. You know, to put a twist on Stephen Miller's words there, this isn't the U.S. Agency for Coal Strip Development, the U.S. Agency for Butte Development, the U.S. Agency for, you know, Tribal Nations Development, the U.S. Agency for Browning Development, the U.S. Agency for Crow Agency Development. No. The Democrats are clutching their pearls over the U.S. Agency for International Development. Remember, they are the America Last Party. And Donald Trump is the head of the America First Party. We can now officially call it. Anyway, before I get distracted and talk about another topic here, I've got more great audio from Stephen Miller, who makes another great point about Congress and USAID and funding, but I'll save that for later on in the 8 o'clock hour when John Jackson's in the house with us. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, what's your thoughts this morning? Good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning. I'm Montana Talks. And well, I have so many thoughts since President Trump's been our commander-in-chief. It's just great. I want to say the U.S. AID, I believe, should be dismantled. And you, I don't know if you saw my video that I posted on Twitter last night, but she was ranting and raving about it, wanting to save the department, saying how wonderful and what and everything else about it. Well, let me tell you who's getting the money. It's not the people in these silly little projects in foreign countries. And it's always their presidents and their prime ministers that are pocketing this money. But I want to get into these tariffs. You know, there's two kinds of tariffs. There's economic and there's also national security tariffs. And what these tariffs that Trump has placed on Canada, Mexico, and China are national security tariffs. And I support these tariffs 101%. And they have got to learn that they've got to have respect for our country. They can't just keep walking all over us. Now, I see China is going to impose 10 or 15% tariffs on goods, you know, are coming into their country from the United States. That's cool. I can live with that. But personally, I wish people would stop getting so excited and upset over these tariffs, because he's doing what he said he was. He wants to cut our expenditures, and I'm telling you, we got the illegal immigration down to 93%. Now, that still means that there's 7% of people coming across our border illegally, and until it's at zero, I want this to continue. I don't know about you, but I feel so wonderful about everything right now. I don't care. I'm off President Trump. I'm supporting him, and
It's incredible.
Yeah, I'm not going to badmouth him at all.
I not only want to see the number of border crossers go down to zero, I want to see it go into the negative numbers because of all the illegal aliens we're shipping out of this country, right? Like, okay, not only has the illegal border crossings dropped to zero, but we've sent blank many illegal border crossers back across the border. So we're actually going into the negative percent now. Thanks to the efforts. I think we may soon get to that point. You know, one thing we're already seeing, you know, speaking of, maybe that was a prediction that I just did there, but I don't know. It's not a bold prediction. It's just, hey, we may very well see the numbers go in the negative here pretty soon. One prediction I did make, though, was I said this now. It's not the boldest prediction to make. It's pretty blatantly freaking obvious, isn't it? I said the moment President Trump, you know, won the election, and then now you get Pete Hegseth confirmed as Secretary of Defense. You've got a Warriors secretary. These photos and the video of him meeting with U.S. Northern Command, and then Lawrence Jones is reporting with Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth on our southern border. It's like, wow, as Lawrence Jones pointed out, you can see the looks on the faces of these men and women that serve in our military, that serve in our Border Patrol, that they are so happy to be able to do their jobs and defend America. Not change diapers, but to defend America. And you can see that. And you can see, and so the prediction I made, you know, and again, it's not a hard prediction. I'm no genius here. It's just pretty blatantly obvious that with President Trump as commander-in-chief and with a new Secretary of Defense like Pete Hegseth, a Warriors secretary, I think you're going to see a surge in recruitment and retention in our nation's armed forces. And we're already seeing that. I just saw, I think it was a Military Times story earlier this morning, the Army is having to reconfigure boot camp. They're having to kind of redesign basic training right now because of this surge in recruitment. So there you go. We're already seeing it. And then after the election, we already saw a surge in retention. You know, those who are currently serving in the military said, okay, I'm going to raise my right hand again. I'm going to reenlist. I'm going to stay longer. I'm going to sign a contract to serve a few more years. And so we're already seeing that. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Jolene in Gallatin County. Jolene, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I just wanted to call in and give a quick call to action this morning on a bill we want to support, I believe. This is going to be introduced on Wednesday. It's House Bill 350, and it basically bans the UN, the World Economic Forum, and the, what's the other one that is so...
The WHO, probably, the World Health Organization. Yeah. Or China's China's health organization, yeah.
Right. So it bans all three of these organizations from having jurisdiction in our state.
Interesting. So, that's House Bill 350, huh?
Yep, Yep, and it's going to be introduced in the House Energy, Technology, and Federal Relations Committee. So if folks could call in and support that, that would be great.
Yeah, that's great. Isn't it just incredible what President Trump, I mean, you know, immediately he hit the ground running to go after the World Health Organization, the WHO. I mean, they basically just become a pawn for the communist Chinese and anti-American. And we saw everything they did, the lies that they put out, the propaganda they put out during COVID-19. And thankfully, that woke people up to, you know, all the other train wrecks going on at the WHO.
But this is why we need this bill, is because between these two administrations, when you talk between Biden and Trump, you know, we came pretty close, really, I feel like, to losing our national sovereignty to the World Health Organization. So, you know, Trump, President Trump isn't always going to be there, and we need something like this to make sure another administration doesn't commit us to that type of rule.
Well, it's one more tool in the toolbox for, you know, our great attorney general, for example, when he's, you know, if there's another administration in place like what we saw with the last one, and they do try to pull some of this nonsense, he can say, look, you know, here's a Montana law that gives him, you know, ground to fight from against a lot of this overreach. Well, thanks for getting that one on our radar. House Bill 350, Jolene tells us it's going to be introduced tomorrow in committee. But if you go to legledge.mt.gov, you can just type in HB 350 on the bill search, read the bill, share it with your friends, message your lawmakers if you are so inclined. Great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Hey, I saw our friend Tim in Savage. He posted a great update. You know, he's been doing Billings Last Diet. He's lost over 80 pounds. He said his knees don't hurt anymore. He's off some medications that he used to be on. 80 pounds. Somebody joked. They said, you've lost a third grader. You know, I remember I didn't even weigh 80 pounds in AAU wrestling when I was a kid. Tim, it's incredible. He's lost over 80 pounds. So today, later today, I'm going to go weigh in at Billings Last Diet. I did my diet tune-up, and I'm wrapping up my annual tune-up here later today, and I'm so excited. I just feel great. Here's the deal. Whether you've got 10 pounds to lose, 80 pounds to lose, we've had listeners lose over 100 pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet. Now, if you live in Billings, you can go in person. But if you live out on the Mon-Dakistan border, Montana-North Dakota border, like Tim and Savage, they've got a remote option, and it's work. It's working. Tim is proof of that. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or give him a call, 294-6751.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, in the 1990s, USAID is a group that implicated the forced sterilization of approximately 300,000 indigenous women in Peru as part of money just launched there. The New York Post reported USAID gave nearly $1 million to Gaza, a charity there tied to Hamas, 6 days before the October 7th attack. The Biden administration repeatedly used USAID to push abortion, according to FoxNews.com, on Africa. Why are we spending billions of dollars like this? We've got to rethink all that we do. And that's what Donald Trump is doing.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Donald J. Trump is officially the next president of the United States of America. While millions of Americans are rejoicing in the victory, thousands of others are still concerned about their savings. The unfortunate truth is, we still have $35 trillion in debt. The interest on that debt is now larger than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. Plus, the wars that started under Biden are still raging across the globe. So, what can you do to help protect your savings? Many Americans are already taking action by reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit to show you how precious metals like gold and silver could help you diversify your savings before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com. Paid for by Goldco.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and areas of light snow around the region today, accumulations generally staying at an inch or less. High temperature readings will range from near 20 in Bozeman to around 8 above in Billings. For tonight, we can expect more light snow showers with a 1 to 3 inch accumulation. Lows near 0 in Billings, near 10 in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
So there's more to this story about another rape suspect on an ICE hold in the jail in Bozeman, Montana. I started asking the question, how many people are in the jail in Bozeman on an immigration hold? There's a dozen of them. I got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, speaking of Bozeman, this is a must-see memorial in honor of fallen U.S. Marines is coming to Montana State University. Photos and more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We haven't gotten the legislative update in yet this morning, so if we get it in soon, maybe we'll play that at the start of the 7 o'clock hour for you. But, yeah, normally we like to run that legislative update here at this exact same time every day during the legislative session. Let's see. So let's get to some other news in the meantime. Or if you want to call in, you can call in right now with a legislative update of your own, 406-294-0970. Let me put out some kind of urgent news and information. If you are in the Billings Heights by Lake Elmo, Billings Heights by Lake Elmo, Billings Police Department, I believe here within the last hour, just posted this information. They have an active barricade right now at the 400 block of Jerry. A suspect was actively shooting outside of the residence. Please stay away from the area. Heavy law enforcement presence. SWAT and negotiators are on scene. Residents in the area, please shelter in place. The incident is ongoing. That's an update by Captain Woolley that was sent out from the Billings Police Department. So again, in the Billings Heights by Lake Elmo, active barricade, 400 block of Jerry. They had a suspect actively shooting outside of the residence. So heads up on that story for those of you in the Billings Heights listening on 970 KBUL right now. Let's see. What else we got here? A couple minutes left before we get to the top of the hour, and then a whole hour yet to come with your phone calls and more. Than John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us starting in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Okay, so earlier we were talking about, you know, President Trump threatening tariffs against both Canada and Mexico for the illegal immigration flowing across both, not just our southern border, but our northern border as well. Not just the illegal aliens, not just the drug cartel operatives that have been flooding across both borders, but also the drugs that have been flowing across both borders. So yesterday, Justin Trudeau basically posted a message on X talking about the good call that he had with President Trump. He said Canada is now implementing our $1.3 billion border plan, reinforcing the border with new choppers, technology, and personnel, enhanced coordination with our American partners, and increased resources to stop the flow of fentanyl. Why didn't Canada do that already? Well, we all know why, right? Anyway, Western Montana District Congressman Ryan Zinke says, quote, "This is absolutely amazing news for Montana, the Blackfeet Nation, which is in his district, and all Americans. Lives will be saved and our two countries' friendship will be closer than ever. Canada has the ability to be a good neighbor, and it took Donald J. Trump to remind them of their potential." Great message there from Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. And look, here we go again. President Trump delivering once again. Let me see. I know I had one other thing on this. The tariffs. Oh, man. I was going to save this one for John Jackson because he had a great tweet. You know, Chuck Schumer was really worried about his guacamole.
Democrats pretended it was economic Armageddon. Chuck Schumer said, what about my cerveza?
What's that going to mean? Higher prices for New Yorkers, higher prices for Americans. It's going to affect almost everything. Let's just take Super Bowl Sunday, okay? It's going to affect beer, okay? Most of it, Corona here, comes from Mexico. It's going to affect your guac, because what is guacamole made of? Avocados, both from Mexico.
Before Chuck could put down the avocados, the Mexican president buckled and agreed to send 10,000 Mexican soldiers to the southern border to stop migrants and fentanyl. In exchange, Trump paused tariffs on Mexico.
All right, there you go.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The quietly widening gap between the U.S. economy and the economies of other Western democracies is becoming harder to ignore. That's because the central banks who manage their respective economies are moving in opposite directions. The European Central Bank cut rates for the fifth consecutive time, citing economic weakness. Just the day before, its U.S. counterpart, the Federal Reserve, left interest rates unchanged. There's a concept used in monetary policy, the neutral interest rate, the rate that neither stimulates or restricts the economy. The Fed thinks that's about where we are right now. The Europeans are still lowering rates to find it. That's a pretty big difference between economies that used to be on the same page. Before we stick our chests out to boast over this, we should remember one thing. Congress and the president have poured trillions of debt-financed government spending into our economy. So it's less surprising that we're surging ahead. Yet the dynamism of the American economy since COVID has clearly opened up some space between the big economies around the world. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.